This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It is Friday, my dudes and my dudettes. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you here on the show. If you want to be a part of it, easy to do so. 844-326-3663. That is the number to call in and be on the show. That is the number to text us. You don't have to start your text with a keyword fan anymore. You just text 844-326-3663 and say what you want to say today on the show. We are asking you the question, which of the four semifinal teams do you believe will win the college football national championship? Text Lions, Buckeyes, Lions, Buckeyes, Irish, or Longhorns to 844-326-3663. Text the name of the team, Lions, Buckeyes, Irish, or Longhorns to 844-326-3663. We are tabulating your votes as they come in. I will tell you as of right now that the Buckeyes are running away with this thing. Of the text line votes so far, 69% of the votes are for the Buckeyes, 31% for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Texas and Penn State have got a combined zero votes. If I had a dime for every vote for Texas and Penn State, I would have zero dimes. Been a minute since we had some Enzo Amore on the show. That's a throwback wrestling reference for the hardcores out there.
I thought you were going to break the chair there. That thing is it's barely hanging on.
It really is. I'm starting to get progressively more nervous show by show.
As part of my duties every morning when I have to set things just perfectly for Rob and I move his chair over exactly at that moment.
Well, if other people would stop moving the chair, you wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, well, I felt how flimsy it's getting. What are you going to do if that chair breaks?
It's eat crap onto the floor.
What if it breaks and you're not in it?
Well, that would be better.
You're going to blame somebody else for breaking it, because obviously if you didn't break it, someone else did.
It's my chair. I'm the only one who sits in it. If it breaks, it's because I'm fat. What do you want? It is what it is. All right? It is what it is.
The makeup of the chair.
All right. Here's my favorite thing that's happened on Twitter. Lane Kiffin and his Ole Miss Running Rebels last night were playing Duke in the whatever it was bowl. Gator Bowl, I think. I think it was a Gator Bowl.
Wow, way to go, journalist.
17.5 point favorites were the Ole Miss Running Rebels in this one. On Twitter, a guy by the name by Cold Call Sniper sent Lane Kiffin a tweet and said, "Let's make a bet, Lane Kiffin. If you guys don't cover 17.5 today, I get to take your daughter on a date to my local Chili's." Lane Kiffin responded with, "She isn't a Chili's girl." The tweeter responded back to Lane Kiffin, "Fine, I'll settle for you and me go there and talk transfer portal talent over some beers." Then his daughter replied, "He isn't a beer guy." The whole Kiffin family is in on the Twitter trolling, and I'm here for it. I absolutely love it. Absolutely adore it.
Is his daughter pretty or something? I mean,
she's not.
Okay.
All right. She's not not.
What is she, like 12? I mean, how old is his daughter?
No, she's in college now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. This conversation just got weird. Unintentionally. It just got weird. All right.
Well, I don't think of Lane Kiffin as being old.
Here's a change in conversation. Some guy just posted that he found a Brock Lesnar Vikings jersey in a thrift store. That's pretty solid. I'd have bought that on the spot, right? On the spot.
Was it signed? I mean, that makes it even better.
It's not.
Okay.
You know what number Brock Lesnar wore for the Minnesota Vikings?
I don't remember because he didn't. He never. I got to find something equally as bad to play for you, and I don't have anything.
So good. So good. All right, we got a lot more. We got a lot more to talk about on the radio show. A couple of texts that have come in so far on the text line, 844-326-3663. Again, text me who you believe wins the College Football National Championship out of the four teams that have made it to the College Football semifinal. By the way, the 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds, no bottom seed team. But no team that got a first-round bye made it to the semifinals. All four teams that made it to the semis played in the first round, which I find somewhat interesting, mainly because, and I asked the question earlier in the show, do you think, and this certainly if it happens again, but do you think after 1 year, if you're a team like an Oregon, which you can make the argument, Oregon got the shaft. Number one overall team going into this bracket. They sit at home. They don't play football for 3 weeks, and then they get Ohio State in their first game back at a neutral field. If you're Oregon and I gave you the opportunity, would you not, if time traveling genie shows up, would you not have switched places with Penn State? Because to me, the answer is yes, I absolutely would have.
Outside of injuries, I mean, that's the only reason why you should struggle, because you got to beat everybody to win a championship. You should want to take out. They should have wanted to play Ohio State, because once they beat them, they could look at the rest of the competition and go, "Yeah, we got this." Why not get the hardest game out of the way first? Didn't work out for them, but why not do that?
That's fair. That's fair. Let's see here. Texter said, "Hot Rod, LOL. Happy Friday." The way OSU is playing, it's going to be hard to beat the Buckeyes. However, Lonzo, I personally still hate them and find it completely offensive that the College Football Trophy will live up north this year. That's from Spartanburg Jay.
Well, you're born, bred, and raised in this state to hate Ohio State. So you're just, doing what your daddy taught you. I can't say diddy because we can't use that anymore. So,
I mean, that's not unfair.
Do Southern people who call their daddy diddy, do they still do that? Do they think about it when they do that?
I got to think that's one of those things that you just did your whole life, and by the time you get to that point, you're like, you don't think about it anymore. Right? I don't know.
At some point, you're going to go, "Hey, Diddy," and someone's going to go, "Ew."
Texas said, "Buckeyes, hate to say it, hate them, but history repeats itself. Ohio State won the first year of the 14 playoff. They'll do it with the 12-team playoff and save Ryan Day's job. Must be nice." I said this in the last segment, Texter.
I don't understand the hate. I really don't. I mean, other than Woody Hayes punched a Clemson guy. That's the only reason why I can figure out why Ohio State is hated so much around here.
Ask me.
Yeah.
Ask me.
What would you know?
Ask me.
I don't need to ask you. You could just say it. Hey, Rob, what do you think the reason is?
Your fans are obnoxious.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
All fan bases.
Of course, one of their fans doesn't think their fans are obnoxious. Georgia fans don't think Georgia fans are obnoxious.
Let's name me a fan base that are not obnoxious.
My honestly, and some of you aren't going to like this answer. You know who my favorite fan base is that I've ever interacted with? Notre Dame fans. Honestly, I've been to Notre Dame. I've been around Notre Dame games that they've put across the South over the years. Notre Dame fans are great. They're great. They're fun. They're nice. They're polite. They're great. Notre Dame fans are phenomenal. Notre Dame fans. I don't want to give them any credit because they have the most annoying single thing in football. Mississippi State fans are great. I've never had a bad interaction with Mississippi State fans. They've been great.
Could probably go to the message boards from either one of those teams and find some people that you go,
My mind. I'm sure. All right. Let's get to some NFL here, shall we? NFC South title going to be determined this weekend as we have an all NFC South weekend. The Carolina Panthers take on the Atlanta Falcons. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the New Orleans Saints. Here is how that division is going to shape up this weekend. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeat the New Orleans Saints, the Carolina-Atlanta game becomes irrelevant. If Tampa wins, they claim the NFC South. If the New Orleans Saints defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta beats Carolina, then by way of the tiebreaker, the Atlanta Falcons would win the NFC South. If New Orleans beats Tampa but Carolina beats Atlanta, Tampa will win the NFC South. So Tampa controls their own destiny. If they do not defeat New Orleans, then Carolina technically controls Tampa Bay's destiny as either NFC South champs or NFC South runners up. All that being said, great one. Tampa's like minus 900 to beat New Orleans this weekend. I think Tampa's winning this division. I think they're going in. The question mark is Tampa a playoff threat?
When's the last time Tampa Bay didn't win?
This 5 years ago. This would be their fourth consecutive division title if they get it. It dates back, obviously, to the GOAT days when Thomas Wayne, Alfred Brady III was there.
They didn't need that guy, whoever that guy may be, to help them win the South.
Well,
it don't take much to win the South.
They got the next best quarterback in the NFL, Baker Mayfield, following in his footsteps. Of course they were going to be fine.
They got a quarterback that actually that they love compared to the one that they have before.
Yeah. Can I tell you, by the way, and I despise that he is doing it. I despise that he's doing it for Tampa, but I'm so damn happy for Baker Mayfield. Like, I just enjoy watching Baker be Baker.
Me
he's
too.
Just fun.
As far as in the playoffs, now they ain't doing anything in the playoffs.
No, I don't think so either. And I'll tell you why. Because I think that they are going to win this division. They're going to go in as the 4 seed. And do you know who they're going to catch in round one? The loser of the Vikings and the Lions. And I think either one of those teams is coming to Tampa and putting 40 down on the Bucs, honestly. By the way, just for the interesting aspect of this, the over-under in the Vikings-Lions game is 56.5 points. That means they believe that both of these teams are scoring in the minimum in the upper 20s. 56.5 points is the over-under of that game, and 80-plus percent of the money is coming in on the over right now. Offensive explosion. As much as I've said, and I mean it, that I'm enjoying watching Baker be Baker, because I blame everything up to now on the Cleveland Browns and the Carolina Panthers. Aren't you kind of getting a little smile across the face for Sammy D, Sam Darnold, too? Like, win or lose this game. And by the way, that game, Minnesota v. Detroit, that game is not just for the NFC North. That game's for the 1 seed. The game's for the bye. You understand how big the bye would be for the Detroit Lions? That team's got like 21 guys on the injured reserve and coming active over the next 2 weeks. If that team gets a bye, I think Detroit goes right back to being a betting favorite to win the NFC. They have fallen off of that spot because of the injuries. If they catch the bye and they get the extra week to get healthy, because of the fact that while they do have a passing offense, because of the fact that that team also has relied even banged up on their defense, I think Detroit goes right back to being a betting favorite to win that division if they win the NFC North and beat Minnesota this weekend, but they are only a field goal favorite in this one. I'm getting the old smiley face for Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold between the Jets and the Panthers, I feel is the exact same guy as Baker, a guy that you go, yo, I think he can do it, and I think he's just been on a couple of franchises that don't know how to, you know, football good.
Yeah, I mean, look at what he had to go through with the Jets and with the Panthers. As bad as the Jets were, thought going to the Panthers was going to be a step up for him, a better situation, and it was basically the same or worse. And then he's floated around a little bit and got the opportunity thanks to injury. And has proved himself this entire season. Because he would have still been on the bench if a certain Michigan quarterback hadn't got hurt.
I don't disagree.
I'm only saying that because I can't remember the guy's name. JJ or Jay something.
JJ McCarthy. Yeah, which, by the way, and I said this on the show last night. doesn't it feel like, in retrospect, doesn't it feel like J.J. McCarthy as a draft pick for the Vikings was kind of a mistake? Right? Like, in retrospect, I don't think it was the case at the time. I'm not going to hold it against them. But Monday morning quarterback in this thing, doesn't it feel like drafting J.J. McCarthy was a mistake and that you would have been better off getting J.J. McCarthy getting Sam Darnold another weapon or stocking that defense a little bit, right? Like, now you've got a rookie quarterback on the roster that you got to pay. Not a ton, but you got to pay the guy. And on the flip side, Sam Darnold's out here playing like a $100 million quarterback. That's kind of interesting to me. By the way, as much as I have talked a bunch of junk about Bo Nix, I would like to clarify that I have less belief in J.J. McCarthy than I do Bo Nix. That's not to say I won't be wrong about him, too. I was very wrong about Bo Nix.
He was playing pretty well before he got hurt.
I mean, he was in spring camp before he got hurt.
Looked good in spring camp.
Looked good in spring camp. We're big spring camp guys out
good,
here.
Looked good enough to win the starting job. I thought he got hurt in the preseason or in like the first game.
I don't remember.
I thought it was in the season.
That was 6 years ago. Who knows? It wasn't in the season. It was before the season started. His season was over before it started, but I don't remember if it was preseason or if it was in spring. Either way, it doesn't matter. Sam Darnold's a dog. I love this guy. Texas said, I just screamed in the car with excitement because, yes, I'm rooting for Darnold all the way. Not the Vikings, but Darnold. I respect that. I'm rooting for Baker, but not the Buccaneers,
J.J. McCarthy got hurt in a preseason game against the Raiders.
Okay, it was preseason. I am rooting for Sam Darnold for the same reason that I am rooting for Baker Mayfield. Super likable dude that everybody wanted to poop on, and they didn't know that it was genuinely the fact that the franchises these two guys were playing for, yes, including the Panthers, were garbage at quarterback development.
I am rooting for all these guys, but eventually they're going to lose to the three in a row, first team to do it, Super Bowl champions.
That would be a team quarterbacked by not Pro Bowler Patrick Mahomes, by the way. Disrespect.
He had a
disrespect.
A low
everything.
Yeah.
He had a low everything this year.
And maybe, you know, the fact that the offensive line was hurt a bunch and stuff. And
always an excuse. Always an excuse for this 15-1 quarterback.
Yeah, I know. He's horrible. Thank goodness he's got everyone around him to lift him up.
Oh man. All right, we got a lot more we got to talk about. We're going to keep talking some NFL when we come back here in just a minute. My name is Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show continues after this. It is the Fan Upstate. Talking some National Football League, some collegiate football here on the show, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan of State. Phone lines open, text line open, same number, 844-326-3663, 844-326-3663 is the number. If you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to have you text us. We're asking on our text line this morning the question of the day, the fan poll of the day. The text poll of the day, whatever the hell you want to call it, until Lonzo and I stumble into the correct name for it down the line. Text us at 844-326-3663. Which of the four college football teams that have made the semifinal do you believe will win the national championship?
Can we not call it a Toyo poll or whatever?
A Tolo poll?
Tolo, whatever that is. Can we not call it that?
No, that's their thing. We have our own thing. Well, listen, we're both going to have our own name for the text line in these polls, but we got to stumble into
it. You told me what Tolo meant one time, and it's
turn on, leave on.
Okay. Did they make that up?
I don't know is the answer. Okay. I mean, I'm sure I don't know for
sure. I'm old. It might be what the youths are.
It's what the kids say?
Yeah, well, neither one of them are kids. Well, Cole is kind of a child, yeah, so. But Diesel's older than you, so, I mean, yeah.
I don't think he is.
We've had this conversation before. And, yes, he's older than you. Yes.
Yeah, wow.
He hit that mark in 2024, I believe.
By the way, I said this already once, but I'll say it again because it makes me excited. You know what the wife put together and planned for the 40th birthday?
This is how you remember. This is why you're going to mention it every day so you can remember that you need to take request those days off.
That's not untrue. Mommy's taking daddy down to the NOLA, the 504, going to spend the 40th down in New Orleans, Louisiana, baby. Can't wait. Pretty excited. All right. I wanted to read this. I'm not going to tell you who put out this tweet because I don't want to give him any attention that he already doesn't have because I'm not a big fan. But I will give you the tweet because I think it's a bad take. Yeah, maybe it's just me. We'll find out. Gut check reaction to this one, Lonzo. Quote, early observation on college football playoffs. All four teams with byes lost. Clearly, we're rusty from layoff. As a result, we have weakest Final Four teams in recent memory. No conference champions, and even a third-place Big Ten team instead. Playoffs will get better, but this year's theme is mediocrity. End quote. What's your response to that?
Was it Ball Fine Mom?
No.
Okay.
It was not. I would have attributed this quote to him because while I am not a fan, at least I can say this person, I think.
All right. The reason why I said that is this sounds like an SEC.
It guy. Absolutely does. But it's not. Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's not. I will tell you who it is off the air, but I'm not going to say his name on it because I don't want to give him any unnecessary intention.
This is a loser's mentality take. When your team doesn't make it, you make up reasons why everyone else did. And fine. If that's the direction you want to go, good for you.
I could not, I don't think.
Sounds like some sort of a thing a Mark would say.
I don't think that I could agree with this take more if you paid me to be
wow.
honest, by the way.
Oh, so you agree with the take?
No, I don't think I could disagree
okay,
with it
Okay, because you
more.
Said agree.
Oh, no,
you
I don't did. Think I could disagree with this take more if you paid me to. And as Lonzo was pointing out, I'll do a lot of extra work for more money. I don't know what you're going to call me. There's a word for that. I'm not going to say it on the radio. You know what it is. But I don't think this is the take. I think right now, again, we played the games on the field, right? Like, this is another case of somebody saying the imaginary games I play in my head are more important than the games that get played on the field. And that to me is the most aggravating and annoying take that college football fans have.
By the way, real quick, you've mentioned many times about how Vegas, they know and they know what they're doing because it's what they do for
sure.
a living. And who had the best odds to win the national championship the entire year, except for maybe after Michigan, I don't know, but the entire year, it was Ohio State.
I mean, yeah. It was Ohio State, and it was Oregon, and they played each other, and one eliminated the other. Like, again, this take to me.
This is what people said they wanted. They wanted a bigger field of teams playing, so a better shot of the, you know, top four teams that go every single year, it seems like. So there would be a better shot of those teams not making it. And now one out of the four or five teams that make it every year made it. They should be happy. Isn't this parity to a degree?
Yeah, I mean, it's not to a degree. It is parity. I think this is a... I think this is absolutely a good thing. And I understand why if you are a fan of one of the teams that got bounced.
Hey, what if Penn State wins the whole thing? They could. It's they probably won't, but what if they did?
I can understand this take if you are a fan of one of the teams that got bounced. But if you are a fan of watching good college football, I don't know how you can be upset with the way that these playoffs have shaken out. Now, there is only one good take from all of this, and it is that rust from a three-week layoff is a real thing. Okay? It is. But I would also point out that Oregon had the bye. Oregon played in the conference championship game. Ohio State did not. They had the same amount of time off. Right? Like, Penn State played in the conference championship game. SMU did not, so did SMU. They had the exact same amount of time off, and Penn State dog walked them. Like, there are spots where teams that played in the conference championship had the exact same amount of time off as the teams that they played because they did not play in the conference championship game. Texas and Arizona State played in their conference championship games. They played in the same amount of time. Texas did have the first round game, though, so they knocked a little rust off. I can get the argument that the layoff for teams that did not participate in their conference championship games may have hurt them to some degree. I can get that argument. And this is why you have people out there like Chip Patterson from CBS making the argument that if we are going to keep the college football playoffs expanded to 12 teams, or even if we're going to go up to 16, that one of the ways to fix the problem, if you believe that there is one of the ways to fix the problem is to get rid of the conference championship games. That's because of this argument. And to be honest with you, I'm actually okay with that. I don't really care all that much. I don't think there is, not with the way that the playoffs are structured and everything is set up. I asked this question of Lonzo earlier in the year. I've asked this question of you guys, the listening audience. If I gave you the option to win your conference championship or go to the playoffs, or I gave you a bye straight to the semifinals, but you were not your conference's champion, which of those would you take? And overwhelmingly, the answer has always been, I'd rather take the bye straight to the semifinals. Not even a guarantee of a natty. I'd rather take the bye straight to the semis than be conference champs and have to play through the whole tournament. And I don't know what to tell you. Conference championship games don't mean what they used to mean anymore with the new playoff structure. Get rid of them. I agree with that take. I don't know. You're not going to be able to do it because conferences are never going to agree to it. But that would be the best thing to do to level the playing field a little bit. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us when we come back to talk Carolina football on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
All right, guys, we're going to set boy.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Ordinarily, the young man joining us next on the radio program joins us on Thursdays, but he had to fly around the world, going international, man of mystery, so he makes his appearance here on the show on a Friday, the host of the Panther Nation podcast, my dog Rashad Beard, joining us this AM. What's up, big fella?
What's going on, man? Happy New Year's, guys. Yeah, I'm excited. Good stuff.
How's the New Year treating you so far early?
So far, so good, man. No complaints. Hope we can keep it this way, keep the same energy. You know what I mean? Everything is good.
I like it. The only thing that is disappointing about the New Year is that it means it's that much closer to the end of the NFL's regular season. One more game for the Carolina Panthers. They are up against the Atlanta Falcons, wrap up the year in an NFC South rivalry. Of course, the Falcons will likely be going out for everything they got because that combined with the Saints win over the Buccaneers, ain't going to happen, would win that team the division. Look, I think obviously too early to put a postmortem on this season. We'll start doing that next week, Rashad Beard. But look, I've said before, I don't think coaches tank. I don't think players tank. I do think organizations tank. That being said, from what we've heard from Dave Canales, from what we've heard from Dan Morgan, from what we've heard that everybody who's healthy is gonna play, it does sound like Carolina doesn't really care about their draft pick. They're going to go out and try to win one more game, hit that five mark. Your 36,000-foot view on Carolina v. Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, I think this is an important game. It's a division game. All division games matter. You have to go out there and play your best football. You got to make a statement going to end the season, to start the new season next year. And look, man, we're here. Obviously, the season has gone – it's a little weird of a feeling for the Carolina Panthers in that the record doesn't show very good. But, you know, the energy is trending in the right direction. So it's a weird feeling to have. And so I think we need to go out there and try to win. Now, I don't care about our draft pick. I think, you know, according to our P&P research team, we can go as low as number two, or we can go as high as pick number nine. So if we lose, you know what I mean, we could probably go low with a combination of a bunch of things, or we can go. So either way, we're picking in the top 10. So it doesn't really matter. You can find talent anywhere. I care more about the W's, and so I want to see a W against my most hated rival, the Atlanta Falcons, going into next Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday.
I think that is the mentality that this team has put forward, and I think it should be, Rashad Beard, because the one thing that we have talked about at length with this team is that, at least to me, the most important thing this year for Carolina was culture building. It was getting rid of all of the crap that's been carried since the day that David Tepper became the owner of this squad, and changing the mentality and the culture, much like Dan Campbell has done in Detroit, much like Kevin O'Connell has done in Minnesota, and look at what those two teams are playing for coming up this weekend with the NFC North and the one seed on the line. And if you are going to convince me that we are trying to flush the old ways and create new ones, going out there and playing for wins above draft picks is the way that you kind of prove that this is legit and tangible and not just something that's nice to say at press conferences.
Yeah, I mean, that plan for draft picks is a loser's mindset. I mean, how often do we see the same teams picking in the top 10? Like, that's a terrible mindset to have. So we got to get out of that mindset. Let's go out there and get some W's. Let's change the narrative here in Carolina. Let's go play some good football. Let's go get a W. Like I said earlier, you can find good draft picks anywhere in the draft. I mean, Patrick Mahomes picking the what, 10, 12? Come on. So you can find a good, talented player anywhere in this draft. As long as they fit your scheme and what you are trying to accomplish on the field, you can make anything work.
We are talking to Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, let's go back and look at last weekend. Chuba Hubbard goes on the IR ending his season. You go out there and you get smoked by Tampa in that spot. I think you would create a spot. And this is not necessarily a bad thing. You would create a spot where the offense revolved around Chuba Hubbard to open everything up for Bryce Young, who did not have a bad day, 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns in the game. But once Chuba went down, I think it was kind of like, all right, we found an identity in this guy. We leaned on it so much, we don't know where else to go from there. This was just a matter of, you didn't have the key to the offense. That's really all that game was to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was an ugly game to watch. I hate to see us get smoked like that. But again, Tampa has a lot on the line. Obviously, they're playing for a playoff berth in a division title, so we just weren't ready. You had a couple of guys out. Chuba Hubbard was out, JC Horn was out, so without that, you know, Mike Evans does what he does consistently against us anyway, and so it wasn't a good circumstances there, and we just got beat. We got out coached across the board. Just a terrible game. Chuba going or being unavailable was not good. I thought we put the ball in Bryce's hands. He did pretty well. There were some passes. Again, every week we come on the show and talk about drops. There was some missed passes out there, and it's like, man, it's a little frustrating. A lot left on the table for Bryce, but it is what it is, man. We got to keep getting better and come back next week, and hopefully we can turn it around.
We are talking to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. I've heard that that take a couple of times, that you got out coached last week. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't love that from a Todd Bowles coach team. It's, you know, if you were up against the Kevin O'Connell or somebody like that and Andy Reid, I'd go, all right, that's going to happen. I'm not a big Todd Bowles guy, even though they have won the division four times in a row. I think it says more about the division than it says about Tampa Bay. What is the reasoning behind your saying that?
I don't know. I mean, look at it defensively. It's just tough. I mean, we don't have the talent. You don't have the guys on the field. It's really tough. I just think it's a lack of talent and execution. When you don't have the guys at Chuba Hubbard, you don't have your guys like JC Horn, you don't have guys like Derrick Brown, you don't have some of that talent, it's just tough to match up with guys like Mike Evans, and they're just isolating, right? They're putting Mike Evans up against Caleb Farley, who was a top 10 pick in the past, but has not lived up to that. And so you're just getting, it is what it is. Nothing. It's only so much you can do with the talent you have on the field. And so yes, it's outcoached, but yes, it's just a lack of talent as well. It's a couple of things, a couple of factors that come to mind when I say that.
I think that you are correct. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You know, I think the other aspect of this is Tampa's a better team than I think the record even indicates, and I'm not super worried about that. Atlanta, on the flip side, obviously interesting with Michael Penix Jr. taking over for Kirk Cousins, who was playing real bad football before he got the boot to QB2. And Penix has been good. I mean, not great, but good enough out of the gate. Outside of that, this is an Atlanta team that just seems to struggle finding an identity, specifically on the defensive side of the football. They don't really seem to know if they want to play a team, be a team that plays forward or plays kind of back in a soft zone. It does feel like an opportunity for Carolina to hit the over win total with a win this weekend. What is this game shape up to look like to you?
I don't know, bro. It's a tough one, man, because I don't know who's playing, who's not playing. I know you're saying everybody that's available is going to play, but we don't know who's available, right? Everybody's kind of been, surprise, come Friday, this player's out or this player's not playing. So I don't know. I honestly don't know what to expect, but I do want our guys to go out there and play spoiler, right? I think that's a mentality that the guys need to have to go out there and play spoiler to our probably most hated rival in the Atlanta Falcons, right? And so that Atlanta Falcons team they were locked to be the division champs. The way that roster was set up, they were supposed to come in and win the division. And for them not to do that, it should be a massive disappointment for any Atlanta Falcons fan. So I want to play spoiler to that. I don't know what it's going to look like on the field. Listen, I haven't watched so much Atlanta football. I'm going to be honest with you. I know they were struggling with Kirk Cousins at the helm, and now Michael Penix comes in, and that's their guy. That's their future. So you have an opportunity to put your foot in the grass and say, Michael Penix, this is our division, not yours, right? And so it's going to be a good matchup. This is something we could see Michael Penix versus Bryce Young for years to come. And so let's get it kicked off right here, right now, and get the W going into next season.
Don't disagree. I think this weekend is got a chance to be a big one for a guy we've talked about a lot on the show, and that's Xavier Leggett. I mean, I think Bryce has kind of showed you what he can be, when he can be that guy. You and I have talked about it. This guy's getting probably a good 50, 60 yards in dropped passing yards per game. And XL has unfortunately been one of the culprits of that over the past couple of weeks. I got to think this is an opportunity for XL to really kind of dial in one last time before the season ends. I would really like to see that young man have a big game, especially when Atlanta's prone to giving up passing yards to a wide receiver who is athletic down the field. This feels like the opportunity for XL to really gain a ton of confidence going into the offseason. We know he's probably going to have that wrist surgery. Hopefully, maybe that's a problem and part of the reason he had some issues. This feels like it'd be a good spot for XL to really hit the accelerator one last time before we call it a season.
Oh, boy. Yes, yes, it would be. You know, a first-round pick, man, it's tough out there. If you read the X-verse, the comments, and he's taking it all in strong. I love how he is taking it all in and taking the criticism and handling it, because it's tough, right? He's getting a lot of heat on X and around the media. So he has to close strong. He has to close strong. It would be great for him to have a 100-plus yard game because it's been there. It's been available. He's been getting the targets. It's just the connection between him and Bryce is just not there, whether Bryce overthrows him or they're just not on the same page or he drops the football. It would be great for XL to end this season on a high note with the 100-plus yard game because he needs it. He certainly needs it. I would love to see it, and I certainly second that. It would be fantastic to see XL, our first-round draft pick, close strong.
Aside from a win, what's the thing you want to see most out of this game?
Man, just some fight. I don't want to see next week. I don't want to see what we saw last week, right? We just kind of folded last week. I don't want to see us get drubbed in Atlanta. I want to see a competitive game. I want to see our defense stop the run, for goodness sakes. Unfortunately for Christmas, I did not get the stopping 100-yard rusher. That did not happen. I looked under my tree, and it wasn't there, Rob. So we got to find that. We got to be able to stop the run somehow, some way. Bijan Robinson, very good running back, and we have not been able to stop the run all season. We still couldn't stop it. We knew it was coming against Tampa. We still couldn't stop it. So, unfortunately, hopefully, that's something we can see is us stop the run, good defense, us play some better defense because it has not been good. Evero, he's kind of on a lot of heat on him. So, hopefully, he can close strong. XL, close strong. Bryce, close strong. I just want to see some good football. If we don't win, we don't win. But I just want to see us be competitive.
Can I just need to. I want to interrupt this football for just a second. If XL shows up and brings the raccoon in, Are you trying it?
Yeah, I'm a guy that tries all kind of foods, man. I'm trying everything once, so I would certainly try the raccoon.
Okay,
certainly.
All right. I'm just curious about
I'm gonna give everybody listening right now a piece of life advice. If anybody ever comes to you and they talk and sound like XL and they offer you food, eat it, because it's gonna be 10 out of 10, 100% of the time. It's a guarantee.
He brought it to the team. I don't know if you saw any of those videos.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and
did.
I'm not asking for anyone in this area, because I'm sure people in this area actually have hunted and eaten raccoon. I don't want any brought in. But if you were to bring some in, Rob, I for sure would try it.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Two guys I want to give a shout-out to, Rashad Beard, and see if you want to do the exact same thing. Two guys I want to give a shout-out to the end of the season. Number one, J.C. Horn, making a Pro Bowl. My guy stays healthy, and he does exactly what I've been saying since he got drafted. This guy can be Pro Bowl caliber if he can stay healthy. He does it. He's Pro Bowl caliber. And the second, and I'm bringing this one up because it makes you look like a genius. It makes me look like a genius. You know who I'm going to say, don't you, Rashad Beard? Say his name.
BY9, of course.
I was going to say Jalen Coker, but let's take BY9 too.
Okay.
You and I both were hopping on. I mean, yes, you and I were the only two BY defenders, I feel like, in the entire Panther universe. But you and I both said going into this year, we feel like Jalen Coker can be a dog, and he's starting to show up a little bit.
Yeah. Salute to J.C. Horn for sure, man. This is a guy that's dealt with a lot his entire career, injuries across the board. This is basically one of his first healthy seasons, right? And so when he's healthy, we absolutely know that he's elite. And we got to see that this year. He's very, very good. And I'm happy he got his first Pro Bowl, because a lot of people jumped off the train. A lot of people jumped off the J.C. Horn train. He's not it. He's not the guy. He sucks. He's not it. But he showed. He proved it this year that he can be a really good perennial Pro Bowl cornerback. And he showed that. So I'm happy for him. He got his first real Pro Bowl. Not an alternate. Real Pro Bowl nod, okay? Jalen Coker, of course, man. I was one of the first guys to get Jalen Coker on my show. When he first got picked up as an undrafted free agent, we immediately got him on the show. We were excited about Jalen Coker and his potential opportunity to play a lot of football because of our wide receiver depth. And things occurred during the season. You know, Deontay Johnson out of here, some injuries occurred, and he got an opportunity to show up. And boy, did he do just that. And so Jalen Coker has a lot of potential. And I'm not saying he's going to be wide receiver one down the road, but there's a lot of potential for Jalen Coker to be a really good wide receiver here in the future. And he's going to do nothing but get better and better. He works hard, quiet guy, doesn't have a lot of hoopla around him, goes out there and does his job. And I'm excited. Hopefully we will get Jalen Coker on the show soon after the season ends to kind of see what his season was like, because he did deal with a lot of injury or a couple injuries during the season, kind of see how he dealt with that and kind of getting his brain. But love Jalen Coker, very good guy, and I'm excited for him as well and his prospects in the future.
But also Bryce Young.
Yes, Bryce Young. Shout out to BY9. We got it, Rob. We got to talk about BY9, because listen, a lot of people were out on BY9. He got benched, and listen, a lot of the criticism behind BY9 is the fact that he's so stoic. He stays at the same level, right? And people were critical about him when he got benched. People were like, "Oh man, he doesn't really he's not a competitive guy, because look at him, he doesn't care, right?" But that quality that he has, just it helped him deal with that benching. He came back, and boy, he is cooking right now. He's cooking right now, and I don't know if there's ever been a quarterback in the history of NFL football to deal with what Bryce Young dealt with, to come back the way he did and fight through it. And he is right now peaking. He's getting to this situation to where he is now going to be the future of the Carolina Panthers. And I'm excited for him. Let's close strong. Let's see what he has going in 2025. Rob, I mean, Zoe, come on, bro. Zoe, I see your face. Come on, man. You got to get on the train, man.
I will say that he has improved. But how many games did he win after coming back?
Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. I'm going to tattoo it on my damn forehead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
It's not a quarterback stat.
Well, yeah, I'm waiting for that tattoo, because that sounds like an agreement and a contract.
Rashad,
I
want to
see that written on your, just like that sign that's supposed to be back there that says that.
Rashad's got a master's degree in knowing ball. Are wins and losses a quarterback stat, Rashad Beard?
Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. It's a team game.
Thank you.
Listen, there's about 1,000 yards left on the field with drops. With
By the way, I agree with you there about the drops. Here's the thing. He has improved. For sure. And do I think they need to go get another quarterback? No, I do not. But I am not the hype that you guys are putting in there. I still need to see some wins. I need to see some finishes, because some fourth quarters, he's still not there yet. You can fall out of your chair. That doesn't make you right.
We're right, Rashad.
I know we're right, Rashad. You know we're right.
We need to end
right.
this segment right now.
All right. Rashad Baird, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Find them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get subscribed to the YouTube channel. Turn that bell on, because they're live like all the time. You guys doing the thing on Sunday again?
Yeah, we will be live reacting to the game. It's going to be fun. Tune in if you can. Good times.
You know I'm coming by. My dog, Rashad Baird, joins us usually on Thursdays, but when he can't make it on Thursday, kind enough, I come by on a Friday. My brother, good to have you as always. Big double. Talk to you next week and do a little season recap.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Done and done. Rashad Baird, Panther Nation Podcast, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Now on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate is the Lonzo Sports Flash on the Fan Upstate.
Yeah, I would never cut him off on purpose, but, you know, rude. Procedure. The final college football playoff semifinal spot has been claimed, the boss told me to do this, by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish with a 23-10 win over the Georgia Bulldogs. Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard threw for only 90 yards. That's not very good. And a touchdown, and the Notre Dame ran for 150 yards. But a 98-yard kick return for a touchdown separated the teams. Georgia sophomore quarterback Gunnar Stockton threw for 234 yards and a touchdown, which is really good for a guy who hadn't played all year in his first start. But Georgia had three critical drops, including a likely touchdown. Notre Dame will take on Penn State in the semis. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 3:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the UNC Greensboro Spartans. It's Furman versus UNC Greensboro right here on your home for Furman basketball. It's us. It's right here. It's the Fan Upstate.